If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The aim of human life is to know thyself. Think for yourself. Question authority. Think with your friends. Create new realities. Philosophy is a team sport. Philosophy is the ultimate aphrodisiac pleasure. Learning how to operate your brain. Learning how to operate your mind. Learning how to redesign chaos.
Timothy Leary, everybody. The late great.
Ask our guest if he recognizes the voice.
For sure. James Fadiman is my guest. And good evening, James. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it so much. And I have to tell you today, reading some excerpts from your book and then watching your lecture was so much fun. And it really, especially I think because here we are in the center of the universe when we're talking about microdosing LSD. It's happening right here in the Bay. And for those who don't understand what microdosing LSD is, they're probably thinking, Timothy Leary, you know, drop in, drop out, all of that stuff. Tell us what it is.
Okay. Microdosing is taking a tenth to a twentieth of what would be called a normal dose of a psychedelic. So it's taking it at a level where it's called subperceptual, where there's no glittering rocks and no angels and no jaguars. But a whole lot of other different effects.
It's really, really an incredible thing. And we find, and I guess the study that you have found, is that a lot of tech people are doing this, so the uber smart 20-somethings, looking for your creative edge. Is that correct?
Well, I know the media is just full of stories about all the many, 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 many people in the Bay Area who are doing it, but we have no way of counting. But we can assume that anything that is helpful and makes people feel better and more productive, the Bay Area is full of it.
For sure. And, you know, and what I found very interesting is when you were talking about the microdosing is the results that people are finding, you know, being able to step out of themselves a little bit without, as you said, being trippy. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. What people are saying is they are a little bit, and then we can fill it in a lot with a little bit more creative, a little kinder. And what happens when people do it over a period of time, and I suggest people don't take it more than every fourth day, within a month or so, many of them say, I'm eating better, I'm being a little more athletic, my sleep has improved. Now, all these things, of course, make them more productive, but I think they're really going for being more alive.
Right. So you're finding that this can be very therapeutic through all of your research, problem solving.
Well, people write me and tell me what they're doing. And
right.
I was just looking over some of that, and beautiful young man indicated he used it to stop smoking, and within about 6 or 7 days, he'd stopped smoking. And he wrote me 8 months later and said that his life really turned around during the few weeks that he was stopping smoking.
Wow.
And so he's also doing all kinds of yoga a couple of days a week, running, eating clean. He also gave up caffeine. Now, that's pretty amazing for a microdose.
What's the mechanism there? I mean, did the microdosing replace smoking? I mean, obviously it didn't.
No, I think it's hard to tell, and remember, the government has spent the last 40 years saying, thou shalt not do science here.
Right.
So the answer is, we haven't the faintest idea, but what it seems to do is improve general health.
And maybe empowered him.
As if it resets things that are a little off. And one that just came in a week or so ago from someone in England was a young woman who'd had very painful periods. And she was actually microdosing because of depression and anxiety, but she had the first pain-free period she'd had since she started having periods.
We are talking.
That is something that I hope, you know, the scientific world will start to look at.
We are discussing microdosing LSD, and James Fadiman is my guest, and his book is The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide, and we're discussing low dosing. Now, you say that this is not for everyone. Obviously, it's not. But I find it very interesting, you know, that you're finding, and these people are telling you that they're, especially when it comes to the cognitive field, that the functioning seems to be, I guess it's sort of like stepping out of yourself, you know, letting the barriers down, dropping the barriers.
And just being a little more able to focus for longer. So right. I have a couple of writers whose books your audience might know and book people know. And the first drafts of each chapter, I've been told, were done on a microdose. Wow. Now, they obviously had written other books, but they said this was the easiest book they'd ever done.
Yeah, it reminds me, and I mentioned this before we had you on the air. I mean, and I think a lot of people find this, and you tell me if it's the same thing or if it's different. You have a drink or two and things, you know, whatever your anxiety level is, it seems right. to fade away. It drops. You know, you become a little more creative. I was talking about, you know, back in my days of drinking and drugging, I used to be able to paint like crazy, but because it would become fluid, you know, it would become brain to canvas so easily. But then I stopped and I just couldn't anymore.
Well, it's a little bit closer to being a little energized in general. I mean, alcohol makes you less inhibited.
Right.
And we know that gets in the way after a while. And psychedelics at a higher dose make you not functioning because you're so busy in your internal world doing psychotherapy or having a mystical experience. But at a low dose, it simply seems to make you more capable at whatever you turn to.
It's amazing. And on the other side, we're going to talk about those things, the sense of touch, sight, you know, where you are in time and space, and all of these different things that I heard in your, you know, in some of your lectures. You know, the whole enhancement thing. By the way, we have lots of people calling already. You know, people in Humboldt. Hang on here a second. We'll talk. LSD never went out of style. He still takes it. Dave in San Francisco, LSD is a good way to be creative. 808-0810. We'll continue the conversation with James Fadiman, The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide, in just a minute on The Drex Radio Show on KGO-810.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO-810.
We're talking about microdosing. Yes. Microdosing LSD. Professor James Fadiman is my guest and the author of The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. And when we talk about microdosing, we're not talking about, you know, back in the day when you were tripping and, you know, if I remember my experience in Ocean City, Maryland, where I was sitting on the boardwalk and I was looking at the ocean waves and it was like stop frame. It would be coming in, click. Click.
No way.
Click. Oh, it was unbelievable.
And they were.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to do that again. Yeah. But this is, we're talking about something totally different. James, let me ask you, you know, those who have experimented in their youth and had the experience that I just talked about, I mean, full out, 100% straight on tripping, you know, watching things happen in frames and all of those things. This is so different because microdosing. What happens in the brain with the chemistry? Have you been able to do research? And since it's illegal, I wonder, you know, what kind of research you can actually see.
Basically, the same thing happens in a microdose to the brain as happens in a big dose, but just much less of it, and probably more of the brain is exposed actually at the microdose because there's not a lot of action. For these kind of big visual trips, such as the one you had,
right? Yeah.
And so this is an unexplored. It's a kind of a bizarre thing because since LSD was illegal, 26 million Americans have taken LSD. But if I asked them how many of you have microdosed, the answer would be awfully few because it's like, well, that isn't a real trip, and the answer is it is not a real trip. It is a different experience entirely.
Okay, let's take some phone calls because I have so many. Pickle and Humboldt, yes, you're on the air with James Fadiman. Good evening.
Hello. I'm 70 years old, And I've been, I think the first time was back in the mid-60s, so. And right now, about 2-3 times a year, maybe, just to see God. But if you go to the dead shows, you go to Ray in the River or any fish show, you'll find it all over the place. And I think right. Those are the so, yuppies coming question. In from.
Oh, did you say fish show?
Yeah, fish.
Great, gotcha.
Yeah, well, and it's a great comment. And now, again, we're talking about microdosing. But I loved in one of your speeches, Professor, that you were talking about telepathy and parapsychology that this couple had found they were experiencing when they were microdosing.
Well, what we find is communication improves. And when you're a very, very close couple, it can improve to the level of telepathy, though that seems to be pretty unusual, but telepathy is unusual when you're not using psychedelics, too.
Right.
Going to become one of the major uses. Talking to each other still really works pretty well.
And for sure. And I'll save that for Tara Fields, our relationship psychologist.
Next
for the top
hour.
Of the hour.
She'll be interested in this.
absolutely. But, and one of the things I'm curious about, and a go-to question is, how do you know you're getting a microdose and you're not getting, a full-on blotter?
Well, people have said is LSD, for example, is usually sold as a tiny piece of paper, a piece of blotter, about 1/4 inch by 1/4 inch, and that usually has about 100 micrograms. But if you dissolve it in either distilled water or something clean like vodka, then you can measure pretty easily what 10 micrograms would be. And so that's what people have done. And what they basically say is if it's a little too much, I notice it, and so I use less. And if it's I don't notice anything, I use a little bit more.
See, I would be so afraid to try it.
Right dose for their body, not necessarily by the numbers.
Well, that speaks to the making of it. Is it, down to a science? If I'm making brownies, I got to put the right amount of flour in, and bam, I got perfect brownies. Is it easy to make?
Well, illegal drugs seem to be available.
Yeah.
So somebody knows how to make them.
Okay.
And I think there's an awful lot of plants that nature knows how to make psychedelics.
Right.
Right.
And which brings me around to psilocybin, and, he was calling
right.
from Humboldt County.
A lot of people who've written me
mushrooms.
Have taken mushrooms.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take between 0.2 and 0.5 grams of dried mushroom. And that seems to be equivalent to the LSD. And the curious thing, in terms of all the effects, it's very hard to tell any differences.
Okay. But there seems to be consistency across makers?
Well, across makers of mushrooms, it's called nature.
No, I mean with the LSD, the blotters. You know how like people smoke pot and they go, oh, my God, it's so much stronger today than it was back when I was a kid.
No, they don't say
like
that about psychedelics. They say the government says that about marijuana.
Oh.
LSD actually used to be on a little piece of blotter 250 mm-hmm. micrograms. Now it's more like 50 or 100. And
okay.
I'm afraid that's just a business.
Okay. All right, microdosing. That is the topic, and we go on and we move on with our conversation with James Fadiman. And let's talk to David in San Francisco. You're on the Trex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Very greetings. A couple of things, and it's funny. It used to be you'd look for the worm in the bottle of real tequila. Well, it sounds like you might want to look for the blotter in the bottle of vodka. I wonder if that'll help mask the interactivity, so to speak. People will think they're drunk instead. I was listening to a lecture once about Owsley and about the manufacturing of acid in the early days versus the later days when there was the bad brown acid and things like that. And apparently people who really used it were the chemists. Chemists would make their own, and they were interested in doing it right, and so they didn't, they made sure that there was high quality. But when you started getting business majors involved in the drug trade, they started using cheaper equipment, cheaper chemicals, they were sloppier in their manufacturing process. So they
and that's
that
what's scary.
Ended up
yes,
at,
that's scary stuff. Yeah,
yeah and so
let's not degrade all those business people, okay? But
yeah,
I will tell you there's an awful lot of people who took organic chemistry in college that know some interesting synthesis.
Right. Well, and that gets into the other aspect. I was able to meet Tim Leary just before he died, and he was at a video conference down on 8th and Brannan. And it was in the early days of video games and whatnot. And he was kind of, he was paid to be there, but he was kind of shocked by the shoot 'em up aspect of it. But, and so I'm kind of wondering about these kids that are they involved in the development of these video games? And are they developing video games that are shoot 'em ups, or are they developing video games that are more cognitive and more interrelative?
Okay, great.
Well, it's,
okay,
it's
we'll
a wonderful question,
you.
And
yes.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were allowed to ask people? My guess is that creative people are excited by being creative, and they often have a good time with shoot 'em ups that they don't feel are harming the human race. Are we making a new age group of microdosers who are going to march for peace? Not yet.
Not yet. But they're looking for that edge, especially in the creative arts. But I don't know. Is it fair to say that? I mean, even if you sell something or whatever you do in life,
sure.
If you find that, you know, you're sleeping better, you're eating better, you're healthier, your outlook, you know, you're not depressed, you're not going through PTSD or whatever the case may be,
yeah.
Whatever helps, whatever gets you through the night.
That obviously is probably the best edge you can think of.
Hmm. And sure. It's illegal, and we are discussing something that still is illegal.
Right.
Do you ever think that we'll get around to a day or a time where it will be legal? I mean, because the federal government, I have heard that they test, especially PTSD, with MMDA, with ecstasy.
Correct.
They're doing some experimenting with that. How about the microdosing?
Well, the microdoses are so safe that they're likely, when we get a little real science behind it, and we get a pharmaceutical company that can figure out a way to make a lot of money on it, I think it will happen, because I mean, it's basically, we're talking about something that acts like a kind of a super vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who've had negative effects. It's not for everyone, to be sure, but right now I'm just exploring, and people write me and tell me about their experiences. And that's what I'm looking at.
Okay, 808-0810, if you've had an experience. We'll go to Las Gatas coming up here next. We're continuing our conversation with James Fadiman. He is the author of The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide.
Makes a great Christmas gift.
Right, yes. And we're talking about the practices for safe and successful psychedelic voyages. And it's happening. And you know, here we are at the center of the universe, right here in the Bay. We'll be right back. First, let's check in with traffic and see what that looks like. With the rain coming down, here is Lee Graham. We're talking about psychedelics for healing and self-discovery, as well as how LSD has facilitated scientific and technical problem solving. Yes, now, again, you know, we're not, because, yes, the calls are rolling in. You're advocating drug use, Drex. No, we're not. We're talking about...
definitely not.
Absolutely not. Well, go ahead and explain.
We are advocating, if you're going to use drugs, to use them as safely and in the lowest possible dose.
Right, and
ultra-low dosing is what he's talking about. And by the way, and if you have stories, because it is illegal, but yet we're finding, and, you know, basically we're at ground zero here in the Bay Area, where we're finding the Uber Smart 20-somethings who are dealing with tech solutions, who might be and probably are, some of them are using microdosing, and they're finding that they're getting a creative edge. It's just the reality. It's kind of like, you know, I'm anti-marijuana, I'm not for it. Well, guess what? But people are smoking pot. That's just the way it is.
And it is good for them. And if I may, you know, what was it, the 90s or whatever, Prozac Nation was out. Half of the young people in this country were on Prozac or Celexa or Paxil or Zoloft or, you know, you name it. So we are a drug-taking country, whether it's legal or illegal, and this one, Professor, am I right, should be studied further.
Well, all we're saying is, you know, give science a chance, as John Lennon might say.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Sarah in Los Gatos, thank you for holding. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Hi. What a great conversation. So I was in a car accident almost 3 years ago, and I sustained a really bad concussion. Sure. And prior to the accident, I was super sharp all the time, pretty happy. I mean, I'd had an awakening in 2001, and so definitely, you know, I'm working in the higher states of consciousness, which can bring about sometimes depression or whatever. But I, since the accident, I've never gotten back to 100%. My brain hasn't. I can just feel it. And sure. I wondered about microdosing regarding that. Would that be helpful?
We don't know. I do have some people, I think two are in Australia, who have similar issues, car accident problems. They're microdosing at the moment, and their report is they are not worse. Therefore, people write me. I don't recommend it. I just take in the reports of people who are recommending it to me.
Right, of course.
So the question first is, will it do any harm? And the answer is, so far, doesn't seem to.
Okay, and then how, like with microdosing, I'm just curious, like, is it something you do once or is it something you do over the course?
No, something that people do about every fourth day for a couple of weeks and then they see how they are.
Yeah,
and
you talked about, thank you very much for the call, that it is anti-addictive. So it's not something that you do Monday and Tuesday, and it's like, oh, my God, I need it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right, but again, people just feel, many people just say, you know, like when you've had a really good day, things seem to work, people show up when they're supposed to, even the person at the office you hate is nice to you, you eat a healthy lunch. That's more like what microdosing seems to be.
Okay.
Is the feeling that things work a little better.
It's a good hair day.
Microdosing LSD. Okay, Trace in Santa Cruz. Yes, go ahead.
You know, I just got to say, I can't believe how much I disagree with this guy. I don't care if you're a professor or whatever.
Wonderful.
It can actually cause brain damage. It can actually cause all kinds of problems. I'm sure you're not even aware of it because apparently there's no research on it. I mean, it's unbelievable that you're actually advocating the use of this, and that's really what it sounds like. It's incredible. It blows me away.
Okay, let's let him respond to that.
May I answer you?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm simply reporting what about 250 people from about 14 countries have reported to me. There is no research on microdosing. There is nothing published. There is nothing published, by the way, about brain damage for higher doses. There's a lot of things published about mental upsets and people ending up in hospitals. So let's be clear between data and fear. So far, I'm only telling you what people are telling me. Now, if you have different evidence, then by all means, you should act on it.
Okay, let's go to Carl, and this will be our last call in San Jose. Thank you for joining us on KGL. Good evening.
Hi.
Yes,
I wanted to know, ask him if he's had any experience with DMT.
DMT takes about 15 minutes, and I have very little experience, and I have nobody who says they've microdosed with it and had any effects that they reported were positive or negative.
What is it? I don't know.
Oh, DMT is dimethyltryptamine. It's
okay.
A psychedelic that simply acts extraordinarily quickly. You have about a 15-minute powerful experience that you can barely recall.
Wow.
And a lot of people like it.
But it's more than that. Allegedly, DMT, we have it in our body. It's a substance that's in our body. And
nobody knows what its function is in our body.
Hmm.
According to the experts,
but it's in there, though.
Who I do know.
Yeah, but it's in there. But there's this physicist named Ralph Abraham.
Yes,
a mathematician and physicist. And you can find some YouTube videos. He's got a whole series of them about it. He's been experimenting with it for quite a few years. And seems like a very credible
Ralph
gentleman.
Abraham's videos, they're very good. He's very smart, and he's had a lot of experiences.
James Fadiman?
He's not used microdoses, but he probably will.
Professor, thank you very much for talking to us at KGO Radio, kgoradio.com. We have all of his information up there, and his book is called The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. And he presents practices for safe and successful psychedelic voyages.
Great pleasure to be with you.
Great
Fantastic.
To be with you. If people want to share their experiences, they can just do that through your website.
Absolutely.
Excellent. James Fadiman, called America's wisest and most respected authority on psychedelics and their use.
Have a good week.
Thanks. Have a good week yourselves.
Thank you very much. Take care. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with Tara Fields, the author of The Love Fix, my favorite love psychologist. She will be with us in just a few minutes on KGOA 10.